And as we continue on in our Advent series, we've already looked at humble worship, we've looked at gratitude, and today we're going to look at adoration. What does it look like? What does adoration mean? How do we do this? How do we adore? To help us, I want to look at the three Marys of Christmas. What, you say? I thought there was only one Mary in the Christmas story. No, there's actually three. Well, no, I'm just messing around. But we do want to look at a couple other Marys who will also help us understand this whole idea of adoring Jesus. Keeping them, on track is a bit complicated because the different gospel writers tell similar stories, and there's Marys in various ones of them. And because of the commonness of that name, it could be the same person, or it could be completely different people. When we come to Mary, the mother of Jesus, it's pretty straightforward. In the second references, there's a Mary who is the sister of Martha, and they both lived in Bethany and were the sisters to Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. In the one scene, she is seen sitting at his feet, listening to him. And in the other, she anoints Jesus' feet with perfume as an act of worship. Another gospel writer tells a similar story of a woman anointing the feet of Jesus, but he refers to her as a sinful woman. So the question is this the same story? Is it the same Mary? Speculation has led some people to believe that the sinful woman was Mary Magdalene. And if the two accounts are the same person, then that would make Mary Magdalene the sister of Martha and Lazarus. This is highly unlikely, but the similarities of the stories make it a little confusing for us. All that said, I'm going to assume that it's two different stories, two different Marys. And so for our intentions and purposes today, we're going to look at just two Marys, Mary, the mother of Jesus, who encourages us to ponder in adoration. And then we're going to look at Martha's sister, Mary, who in Luke chapter 10 and John chapter 12 shows us that adoration involves listening as well as gifts and service. Let's turn our attention first to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 2 is the classic Christmas text, and if I start reading in verse 1, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree. You'll all have zoned out by the time I get to the verses that I want to refer to today. So I'm just going to zero in on two specific verses that show us the posture of Jesus' mom, Mary. Verse 19 and verse 51. After the shepherds had come to see Jesus, they went around telling everybody what they had seen. And the text says, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Chapter 2 is a bit of a long chapter. There's actually a 12-year gap by the time we get to the end of the chapter. There was this episode where Jesus had gone missing and everybody was looking for him. And again, in verse 51, it says, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. There was an openness within her to be open to what God had for her, to receive, to be taught. And we actually see this in Mary already when the angelic visitation came to give her the news of her miraculous pregnancy. She had a posture that was willing. A couple of weeks ago, Chet referred to Mary pondering. What did she ponder? Maybe it isn't so much what she pondered, but rather that her humble posture was to pause and to wonder instead of react and just rush to conclusions. Yeah, the shepherds, I mean, they were excited. They had heard the good news. They went around. They told everybody. But she didn't get caught up in that frenetic energy. She chose rather to ponder these things in her heart. Later, when there was all the drama around the 12-year-old Jesus who had gotten separated from his family, again, she steps back and considers, what does this actually all mean? She knew how to ponder, and she was highly favored by God. This brings us to our first questions. How do we adore when we ponder? What does this look like? How do I make space to ponder? How do I recapture that childlike inquisitiveness about Jesus? How does the wonder of Christmas capture my imagination again? Are we willing to sit with questions like that? Are we prepared to ruminate on the grandeur of God's redemptive work in our lives? It really actually is an angelic undertaking. Peter, later on, he actually says, even the angels long to look into these things. I find for myself, often a great place to start is just to ask some questions, and it helps me to ponder. We turn our attention now to another Mary, a little further along in the Gospels, who, beyond pondering, shows us two other postures in adoring Jesus. She listens, and she serves with her gifts. We'll turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42 first. The text says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord said, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. In fact, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The story has frequently been used to juxtapose these two women and often throw Martha and the rest of the practical helpers of the world under the bus. I think there's actually more going on here. We have to be careful not to read too much into the text, but what the text actually tells us is that Mary chose to listen, and in so doing, she made the better choice. I think it's always a good choice for us to listen to Jesus. Which brings us to the second set of questions. How is listening to Jesus adoring him? What does it actually mean to listen to him? How do I do this? What does it look like when I'm so easily distracted by the busyness of my life? Or when I've so compartmentalized my life that it just kind of gets squeezed out? After all, there is work to be done, and the Marys of the world aren't actually helping us. I find sometimes it's the very basics that we need to go back to, the very simple things of prayer and scripture that are a good place for us to start to develop the art of listening. I recently read a story about Mother Teresa, and she was interviewed, and the interviewer asked her, you know, when you pray, what is it that you say to God? And she said, I don't talk. I just listen. So the interviewer, who thought, oh, it must be because God's talking to her. So he said, well, what does God say to you? And Mother Teresa replied, he doesn't talk. He simply just listens. The interviewer was at a loss. And I think we sometimes are too. We're so accustomed to prayer and listening to be about the transfer of information. In prayer, I think we often have this attitude of, I'm going to tell God what I need. I'm going to tell him what's going on. And it's like, it's about the information we're giving him as if he somehow doesn't know it. And when it comes to scripture, I think sometimes our attitude is, well, I'm going there to get information about how I'm supposed to live. Not wrong, but maybe just short-sighted. And I wonder if maybe, just maybe, listening is more about the relationship than the information. And for that to be the case, we need to slow down to listen with our hearts and not just hear with our ears. Jesus warned us about this possibility when he quoted the prophet Isaiah when he said, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. The invitation this Christmas is to listen well, and in so doing, bring Christ our adoration. For that, we need to create space. Our last vignette is with Mary again, as she literally pours out her affection on the feet of Jesus in the form of perfume with which she anoints his feet. She shows us that our gifts and our service contain our adoration. They contain our worship. We find this story in John chapter 12, verse 1 to 7. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Oh, there she is again. She's serving. While Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. At this point, Judas gets upset at the extravagant waste. He's thinking more about how much money could have come into their coffers if they had sold this stuff, and then he could have helped himself to the resources. But Jesus receives her worship. He receives her adoration. He doesn't put a practical qualifier on her affections. I did a little bit of research. Gucci has a perfume called A Kiss from Violet. It runs about $500 for a 20-milliliter bottle. At that price, the amount that Mary pours on Jesus' feet would have set her back over $12,000. In the story, if we would have read all of it, we're told that what she poured out was the equivalent to a year's wages. A pint is about a half a liter. That's a lot of perfume. I've encountered a few women and even a few men who have overdone it a little bit in this department, but I think even they wouldn't have doused themselves with quite this much. It says the house was filled with the fragrance. Thanks, Sherlock. Certainly, it was no longer a scent-free zone. It was a costly gift. Not unlike the three magi in the Christmas story, who under great expense of time, effort, and undoubtedly resources came to worship the Christ child, and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Our adoration of Jesus can involve gifts. Gifts can be a very practical expression of our adoration. But the essence of the gifts that we offer, I think, was captured in the Christmas carol in the bleak midwinter. What can I give him, poor that I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. It is good for us to consider what kind of gift of worship we might adore our Savior with. But I think the bottom line is the posture and attitude of our hearts. Coming back to Mary's gift of perfume, Jesus interprets her love not just as a gift, but also service. He says it was done in preparation for him for his death and his burial. The anointing of the feet was also seen as an inauguration for a new king. And so there's several layers to what is going on here. Our adoration of Jesus taking the form of a gift should have the right attitude of heart, but our service too can be our worship. Which brings us to our last questions. How are serving and giving and adoration synonymous? What does it mean to serve? I think it's right to ask what kind of gift I might bring. And I think we should follow that up with, well, who do I give this gift to as unto the Lord? Again, these things start with the proper posture of our hearts, whether to ponder, to listen, to give, or to serve. And I think they actually work together. I think that as we learn to ponder and listen well, it will lead to giving and serving well. I've mentioned this proper posture several times today, which may beg the question of, how do we cultivate that posture? How is it formed in us? And I think it's about proper proportions. It's about seeing ourselves in the right perspective in light of who God is. And it's about seeing God right-sized. And nothing acts as a better corrective than a refreshed view of the grandeur and holiness of God. Seeing Him for who He is establishes in us a heart of adoration. My hope and prayer for you this Christmas is that maybe with even some unwelcome restrictions, you would find new space to ponder, to listen, and then discover ways in which you can give and serve with the gifts that God has given you. Let's pray. Holy Father, Holy Spirit, Holy Jesus, might you work in us, by your grace, a renewed vision of yourself, and that in this Advent and Christmas season, we would learn to ponder and listen again in order to give you our adoration through humble and obedient service. Amen. Grace and peace to you, my friends.